Hey, Maror Cheshvan, Sunday the 21st of October, Rabbi Avraham Katz, Hero Israel.
A very good morning to everybody. It's a great pleasure and a cover to be here in the Ir HaBira, London, where the crowds have gathered to hear a Shia and Divrei Torah on a Sunday morning when they could be relaxing. Maybe they think that this is relaxation. In yesterday's parasha, we read something which gives us an opening into this week's Hedra, which can give us a tremendous insight, which has got the power to affect our lives and has to change our lives. The Torah tells us about Noach. Vayovoi Noach Ovonov El HaTevo Mipnei Mehamabul. That Noach was coerced into going into the Tevo because of the rising waters of the Mabul, of the flood. So Rashi there says words which are indicting and require an explanation. Rashi says, Af Noach miktanei amona hoyo. Noach was in some way lacking in his emuna. He was deficient in emuna, miktanei amona. Hoyo maimin ve'enei maimin. He was a maimin, and yet he was not a maimin. She yovei ha-mabul, that the water of the flood would come. And he didn't enter the Tevo until he was compelled and coerced to do so by the rising waters. How do we understand that Noach, who is described as Noach Ish Tzadik Tomim, the Noach Motzachein Be'enei Hashem, how do we understand that this man Noach, who was a Novi, who spent 120 years faithfully following the instructions given to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be described as a maimin ve'ena maimin? The kasha is a well-known kasha. So I saw yesterday in a sefer called Hemanti Ki Adaber, written by Rav Moshe Toledano, a wonderful moshel which explains, which gives us an insight into understanding the mindset of Noach. It says, Azoi, there was once a tightrope walker. A tightrope walker walks on the high wire between two high buildings. And there were a crowd of people watching him, and he said, this tightrope walker with his balancing pole in his hand, before he embarked on his perilous journey, he shouted down to the rapt audience, "Do you believe that I can walk across this chasm on the wire?" And they all shouted, "Yes, you can do it." So he says, "And do you believe that I can not only walk across the wire, but balance a chair on my shoulders?" And they said, "Yes, you can do it." And then he said to them, "And do you believe that I can cross the wire with a chair balanced on my shoulders with somebody sitting in that chair?" And they all shouted out, "Yes, you can do it." And he turned to the audience and he said, "Who's going to be the volunteer?" And it was greeted by a profound silence. And that is maimin ve'enai maimin. Yes, we believe you can do it. But put our lives on the line literally for that? No, no. If anybody would be asked to give tzedakah, a large sum of tzedakah, for a cause that you trust the person, but you're not absolutely sure that this cause is a genuine cause or is telling you the right story, you would give him a small amount. You would not commit yourself to collect money for that particular person. There's maimin ve'enai maimin. Pshat here by Noach, therefore, is azoi. Did Noach, and this is the way it was explained to me by Ramatzio Salman Shlita, he said azoi. Noach was a maimin she'en kamoyu. There was no question that Hashem was real in his life. And he believed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had indeed spoken to him, and that was an authentic message. But nevertheless, he had a suffix in would HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually carry out the threat. That means, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Keil Rachum V'chanun Erech Abayim, and therefore it could well be that at the last minute HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to do it, sof kol sof, it remains a threat. When you don't believe fully in your own message, that's called maimin ve'enai maimin. That means you believe it, but you don't believe it absolutely. It's not 100% with absolute certainty. With that, we can understand why it is that Noach, for 120 years, when he was berating and chastising his generation and trying to persuade them to do tshuva, And when he told them of the words of Hashem, of the threat, not one single person, he didn't manage to make one single Baal Tshuva in 120 years. It's not a very great success rate. So how do you understand that? And the answer is, said Rav Matzio, is because he didn't believe his own words. And that means when you're not convinced of your own words, then the words ring hollow, whether you think, I don't want to say it, but it's like a politician's speech. The politician will say whatever his advisors, whatever his think tank type of plumbers taught him to say, and he'll say it, and he'll have to look on his drosha to see what he's supposed to believe in passionately, and therefore nobody believes it. So Noach, when Noach said there's going to be a mabul, in his mind he said, maybe not, efshanisht, and therefore he wasn't able to convince anybody. Reb Chaim Kaufman Zatzal used to say it like this. He said, what's the difference between a Keli Rishon and a Keli Sheni? A Keli Rishon is Mevashel, and a Keli Sheni is not Mevashel. But why should that be? The difference in temperature is minimal. When you pour from a kettle into your cup, it may drop a degree or two, but it's still hot enough to be Mevashel. So why doesn't it have the din of being Mevashel? And the answer is that Keli Rishon is Oymed Ala Eish. In order to be mevashel something else, you've got to be oymed ala esh. You've got to be bubbling with passion. If you're not oymed ala esh, then you're not going to be mevashel anybody. And you know yourselves that who are the successful businessmen or the salesmen, people who are passionate about their product. I remember I had staying with me somebody, a very, very nice fellow, and he came to Gateshead from Eretz Yisrael, and he was selling something that I've never heard of before. It was this, you may have one, inside your hat. You have a plastic molded shape, which you insert in your hat, which is supposed to guarantee the shape of your hat ad Bias HaMashiach over the next 50 years, whichever is shorter. And I thought to myself, and I said, how much is this, it sounds like an interesting idea, I've never heard of that. How much is, say, I think it was £6 or £7. It wasn't a minuscule amount. So I thought to myself, who on earth is going to spend £6 or £7 on something? And he was so passionate about his product, he couldn't stop talking about, he promised me I'm going to get one free, and it's going to preserve your hats. And he was so enamored and passionate about his product, and he went down to Gateshead Yeshiva, which is the world center of hats, and there he got the Bochurim, and he was hammering away his message that this is the greatest thing, and he sold loads and loads of these things. Whether they've actually worked, I can't say, I never bought one. But the fact is that he was passionate. When the somebody is passionate about their product, then people sit up and take notice. If he believes in his message, then it must be, and Noach wasn't able to do that. However, in contrast, we see that we know that that Noach was contrasted to Avraham Avinu. Ilu hoyo b'dayrish shel Avraham loy hoyo nech shav liklum, for those who are dayrish lignai. So in which way was Avraham Avinu different? If Noach was depicted as by Rashi or by the Torah as maimin ve'enoi maimin, that means somebody who believed yet wasn't absolutely convinced that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him would actually happen, where do we see that Avraham Avinu was different? And then we see, here we see it in various ways. Avraham Avinu is described, U'motzoses levovoi ne'mon lefonecho, ve'hemin b'ashem v'ayichshveh lo yitzudoko. So that means the Torah is telling us that Avraham Avinu's belief in Hashem, his understanding of Hashem was absolute without any pickpock in any way. Where do we see that lemaisa? So the Pirkei Avos tells us, "Ba'asor nisyanis nisnasa Avraham Avinu va'amad b'chulam lahidia kamo chibosa shel Avraham Avinu." Avraham Avinu stood and withstood all the 10 tests. So what were these 10 tests? So if we can understand what the nature or the common denominator of the asor nisyanis which Avraham Avinu was given, then it'll help us to understand the ne'mon, the emunah shleimo of Avraham Avinu. And it's interesting, if you have a look in the Pirush on Pirkei Avos by the Rambam begins the first of the ten Nisyonos. So Rashi says the first of the ten Nisyonos was Ur Kastim. But the Rambam says the first of the Asara Nisyonos was Lech Lecho. So why, according to the Rambam, does he feel that Ur Kasdim, which is hinted in the Torah, even though it's not stated explicitly, that the Nisayan with Nimrod, which Lichura was the greatest Nisayan, are you prepared to give up your life for your beliefs? That wasn't considered a Nisayan for Avraham Avinu. Whereas Lech Lecho, where he was promised every good, wealth and children and fame, if only he would move and relocate over to Eretz Yisrael, then that means he has every incentive to go. That is the considered in Nisoyen, and yet to be prepared to sacrifice his life is not considered in Nisoyen according to the Rambam. So Rabbi Eliezer Zecher Tzadik Livrocha explains it like this. He says, what is a Nisoyen? So the root of a Nisoyen is Nes. What is Nes? A miracle. What is a miracle? Something that goes against the laws of nature. Something that disobeys the prescribed laws of nature. That is a nes. A nisoyoin is something which goes against our nature. So everybody's got their own nature. For some people, getting up early in the morning is a nisoyin. And for other people, it's not a nisoyin. And everybody is. For some people, giving tzedakah is a nisoyin. For some people, sleeping in the sukkah is a nisoyin. Everybody's got their teva. And according to what your teva, any mitzvah, any tzivoy, which you are commanded to go against, for some people, it's a nisoyin to smile. There is somebody who told me he finds it physically difficult to smile. He goes around with a glum face. His face looks like a map of Chile in the same temperature as well. And he can't smile for him. And other people are smiley people. They're smiling at everybody. They smile at the lamppost. So some people, it's not only saying. What was Avraham Avinu's teva that the Nisyonos went against his teva? So everybody knows that the Rambam tells us, and it's, maybe that's why it's the Rambam Lashitosoi, so to speak, that Avraham Avinu he came to a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his seichel. He looked at the world, and he looked at the beautiful world, and the amazing world, and the wondrous world, and he thought to himself, it's not possible that this beautiful world, this coordinated, complex edifice called the world, should have made itself. We don't find anything that creates itself, especially we find that muscles atrophy. That means things fall into disorder. Nothing falls into order. And therefore, how can it be that this beautiful world came into existence randomly? So through his seichel, he came to a recognition and a conviction and a firm conviction that there is a creator, that there is a designer, and there is a controller. There is Hashem. And that was seichel, it was purely seichel. Therefore, when Nimrod came along and said, we'd like you to renounce, and we command you to renounce your seichel, he said, I'll be seichel, I can't renounce my seichel. That means if it's true and if it's logical, then I must stand by my convictions, and I'm not prepared to go against them. And therefore, from that point of view, Ur Kasdim was not an Nisoyen for Avraham Avinu. It was a logical consequence of that which he believed in, of his mindset. Whereas everything that Avraham Avinu was told to do by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lech Lecho, made no sense. It was going against his seichel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're saying, there I'll have children, there I'll have fame, and there I'll have wealth. Why can't that happen here? The same Boirei Olam that can give me children then can give me children here. It doesn't make sense that at the age of 75, when most people are thinking of writing their memoirs, or have already written various volumes, it doesn't make sense that they should start again from scratch. Nobody knows you to go to a place where you'll be an unknown absolutely. So we can see that Nisayin went against Avram's Teva. It was a Nisayin. And all the Nisayinus culminating in the Akedah, which was a huge Nisayin for Avraham Avinu. It was totally illogical that the same, that Boirei Olam that Avraham Avinu had been, the reputation of whom Avraham had been disseminating, that Hashem is Olam Chesed Yibone, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to do Chesed, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu does not want people to practice child sacrifice. And Avraham Avinu was being asked to do just everything the opposite. It made no sense from beginning to end. And Avraham Avinu was prepared to do that. That was a Nisoyen. And there we can see that Avraham was a Maimin Uba Maimin. That means when you're asked to do something, and it doesn't make sense to you, then you've got to have absolute conviction that you're doing it for the right reason. That even though I can't understand it, that means my mind can't grasp why this is a good thing for me, but I believe so much in the words and the instructor of Hashem that I will do it despite the fact that it goes against every conviction and every instinct that there is in me. And that was Avraham Avinu's and we can see that when Avraham Avinu went for the Akedah, he didn't go thinking, oh, it's going to end up happily in the end. He hadn't seen the end of the story, even though he said, V'noshuv aleichem, but nevertheless, nisnabe v'lo yodo ma nisnabe, that means he hoped, but he had no indication in his mind that at the last minute he would get a reprieve. How do we know that? That at the end, Avraham Avinu was so fired to do a shechita, to do a ma'aseh shechita, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to send him a ram, he had to send him the isle, in order that he should be able to... It's like, I don't know if you've ever been to Tzvas, or whether you've ever been to a mikveh where the heating is off. What would you do if you go to a mikveh? Recently I was in Amsterdam, and I went to the mikveh, it was a Ksuvah Sefer Torah, and I went to some place in the middle of the town, and the fellow told us that the heating's not working. And therefore it was going to be an ice-cold mikveh. Have you ever been in an ice-cold mikveh? Mr. Tommy, you have. So how would you do it? So you've got to steel yourself. You can't just dip your big toe in, because then you'll recoil. So you've got to sort of psych yourself up. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to be strong. I hope I survive this experience. And you've got to jump in, choo-choo-choo-choo, like you toy with your kalim, and jump out, and then you feel exhilarated. So that's how Avraham Avinu was done at the Akedah. He was going to the Akedah with a firm not intention to do the Akedah. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, don't do it, he had this Akedah in him. He still had the Akedah in him. He needed to express the Akedah that he had an ayah. That is Maimin of Maimin. That's somebody who doesn't think, maybe make his own cheshbonis with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the Sedra, we find another amazing example, a tremendous example. It says, Vayecholek aleihem laila, hu va'avodo vayakeim. When Avraham Avinu went to rescue Lot from the four kings, the Torah tells us he stopped halfway through the night. So Rashi explains to Pshotim, lefi Pshutai, Vayecholekem laila, he divided his forces, u'medrash agodo shenechloka laila, that the night divided, u'bachatzois harishon nasel anes. The first half of the night there was an ace that he managed to overpower the four kings. And the second half of the night was reserved for another Chatzay Salailo. First Chatzay Salailo was Avron, Vahiva Chatzay Salailo. The second was Yitzias Mitzrayim, when Klal Yisrael were gathered together and they left Mitzrayim. So Reb Dessler asks, what's the connection between Avraham Avinu? There's got to be a connection. If we learn from the same pasuk, from the same Makor, there's got to be a common denominator. So Reb Dessler explained like this, when Avraham Avinu heard that Lot was captured by the four kings, you can imagine that various cheshbonos went through his mind. Number one might have been, well, it serves him right. I told him not to go there, he deserved it. Let him look after himself. But Avraham Avinu didn't do that. So why did he go chasing after these superior forces, either with 318 men or with one man, Eliezer? And the answer is, says Rav Dessler, that Avraham Avinu had one cheshvan. What does Hashem want me to do? What is the Rotzen Hashem? Whatever the Rotzen Hashem is, I'll do it whether it makes sense or whether it doesn't make sense. So motivated by that desire to do the Rotzen Hashem, even though it's illogical and inadvisable and militaristically suicidal, he nevertheless decided he has got to do what he's got to do. That is the Rotzen Hashem, even though it doesn't make sense. And that same kavono was in the minds of Klal Yisrael. Leave Mitzrayim. Wherefore? Some unknown destination. What about provisions? None. What about water? None. Will you be going into the desert? Probably. So what would lead any Yid to go out of Mitzrayim? Why should they go out of Mitzrayim? Zacharti lo chesed noraych, lech techa charei bamidbo. Why should they? It's not logical. Lech techa charei bamidbo with no provisions. If you take your children to the park if you go on a one chalamayit outing, so 50% of the car is children, the other 50% is nosh. So how can you go anywhere without food? and yet Yidden did. That was the same Vayecholik Aleim Loilo, to do what the Rotzen Hashem is, because it's the Rotzen Hashem. That is Maimin or Maimin. And there we come, and also we find with Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik had a tremendous, his emunah, his Shvisi Hashem LeNegdi Somed was something extraordinary. We find a tremendous example when he came in front of Paroi, and this was his chance for freedom, as we all know. And Paroi said to him innocuous words, Vayeme Paroi Yosef, Chaloim Cholamti Yopoiser in Oisai, Vani Shumati Olecho Leimor Tishma Chaloim Lifsoi Reisai. Hello, young man, I've heard that you're good, pretty good with dreams, which for Paroi is a very pleasant way of starting a conversation. Usually he reached for his weapons. He was being nice to Yosef. And Yosef reacts as if he's been stung. Vayan Yosef es Paroi lema. Vayan means he shouted. V'yoniso v'yomarito in havoth v'kurim. V'koyel rom. Vayan, he shouted. Es Paroi. At Paroi lema. Bilodai. Rubbish. Elokim yan eshloim Paroi. There's only Hashem. Why is he said wrong? What the Paroi said wrong? Where was the apikorosus? He said, I hear you that you're able to interpret dreams. So he said, imagine the plumber comes to you, a Haimish plumber, and he said, I hear you're good at mending washing machines. Bilodai Elokim, men's washing machines. So why? You don't expect that reaction. What's with Yosef? And the answer is, that is Maimin or Maimin. That means Hashem was reality. Hashem wasn't a distant concept. Hashem wasn't a religious nicety. Something you say, you know, how are you? Oh, Rabbi, no bad. So it's not something you just say because that's what people say. He wasn't just talking the talk. Hashem was there next to him, real, in reality, real. So you're saying, I can enter. Hashem is here with me. Shvisi Hashem LeNegdi Tomi. Bilodai Elokim Yan Eshloim Paroi. That is a Maimin and a Maimin. And it's interesting that Klal Yisrael, we were taught to be Ma'aminim, Ma'aminim, Ma'aminim B'nei. That means our emunah has got to be real. Where did we learn that? We learned that, interestingly, the Sfas Emes has got a gewaldige Wort. We know that Pesach is comprised of Yom Tov Rishon, Chol HaMoed, and Yom Tov Shlishi of Pesach. What's the Shlishi of Pesach? That is Kriyas Yamsuf, connected Kriyas Yamsuf. What was Kriyas Yamsuf value added more than the Esrei Makos? What did Klal Yisrael learn more by Kriyas Yamsuf than they did at the Esrei Makos? So we know that the Esrei Makos, they learned the Tzachadash Yachav Bezoit Teida Ki Ani Hashem, that Hashem exists, Leman Teida Ki Ani Hashem Bekerev Oretz, they learned the existence, the Metzias Hashem, Hashkoch HaProtis, the Yecheles of Hashem, as the Malbim explains. So they learned all the Limudim. So, but they were spectators. They were observers. It was as if they were sitting around the arena and watching the show in the middle. And after each Makkah, they said, nice one, well done, we enjoyed that one, that was tremendous. So they were observing. So it was like the theory of their test. It was theoretical. They were learning the theory and the facts. But that doesn't make you into Maimin, full Maimin, Ben Maimin, and Maimin Umaimin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them to Kriyas Yamsuf, to Yamsuf. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, cross that water. And they said, are you serious? Cross the water? How? Where's the bridge? No bridge. You've got to walk into the water and it'll split. Oh, would you like to go first? After you? Everybody's been mechabed everybody else? No, please. And the Maisa, they did. And they did, and it was a Nisayan of doing the impossible. You can imagine everybody looking at the water towering on either side and saying, it'll be put my muzzle, I bet you anything that it's going to fall down on my head. And it didn't. And they all did it. That they were taught that when Hashem tells you to do the impossible and you do it, that is a madrega that's required of a yid. No cheshbonos. And then you can sing shiro. You can't sing shiro when you're observing. Somebody can tell you an amazing, you can read and you can tell, somebody will tell you amazing stories of Shkopa Protis, and you'll say, oh, that's an amazing story. You won't say Hallel. He's saying Hallel. You won't say Hallel. It didn't happen to you. So when Klal Yisrael, they can only sing Shiro. You can only sing Shiro. Vayaminu b'Hashem Moshe Avdoi Oz Yoshe Moshe Bnei Yisrael. It's Hashira Azos L'Hashem. That is when Klal Yisrael learned this fantastic emuna. And I want to tell you something which I feel is a mamash, a gold mine. The Torah tells us that our uniqueness, we are Bnei Avrom Avinu. So where were we taught this absolute reality of Hashem? And the answer is, the Torah tells us, Kish'alno liyomim rishonim in voeschanon, Go ask anybody anywhere. Hanishmo om koyle lokim medaber mitoicho eish kasher shumato ato v'yechi. Has anybody else experienced this yediyas Hashem that you have heard Hashem speak to you as a nation, everyone, and say onoichi Hashem elokecha, you second person singular? Has anybody else heard that direct communication like you have? Has any nation ever been taken out of a nation with oisois, masois, oisois, moisim, milchoma, yod chazokas, reinatuya, moirim gedolim, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to you in Mitzrayim, le'einecho, and you all saw it? Ato horeiso lo damas ki Hashem hu elokim ein oid milvadoi. You, Klal Yisrael, and only you, Klal Yisrael, but the whole of Klal Yisrael, you have experienced HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reality in a way that nobody, no other nation in the world, every other religion in the world is based on emunah. We believe and we would like to think and halavai and we would like it to be so, and we can assume they've got holy assumptions and holy errors, and then they've got to make up their saints, and it's all a cloud built on a cloud, and it's all, there isn't one ounce of reality. But this is ato horeso lodas, it's yidia, it's not emunah, ato horeso lodas, ki Hashem elokim ein oid milvadoi. So this is the ground, this is a solid granite foundation on which our emunah is built. We build our emunah on this. So where do we say this? And there, I saw in the Sefer Ber Moshe brings that the, I haven't learned it myself, I'm not going to pretend to say I have, the Yerushalmi Brochus, Hey Aleph says Azoi. Listen to this. I was thinking to myself that the crucial pasuk which we didn't say daily, it's the first pasuk we read, it's after 120 years, it's the last pasuk we say. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. That is the center core, hence the hero Israel. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. So I was thinking to myself, Shema Yisrael is referring back to a time when we heard something. What did we hear? Onoichi Hashem Elokecho. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. Lo yeh elecho elohim acherim Hashem Echod. And the Yerushalmi says, exactly those words, that when we say Shema Yisrael, we are referring back to that experience which we, Klal Yisrael, experienced together. Shema, there was a Shmiah we heard with our ears, all of us together. What did we hear? The two Dibros, Onoichi Hashem Elokecho, Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem Echod, lo yeh elocho elohim acherim. No other God exists in the world. Hashem Echod. That is our reality. That is our emunah, absolute emunah. That means when we say that, it's an amazing thing. Israel is real. That means Hashem is real. The word Israel, I-S-R-E-A-L, E-A-L, Hashem is real. That means that's what we, Yidden, have been taught. We experienced it. That is our heritage. That is our common experience. And we remind ourselves twice a day, never mind, apart from Pesach and apart from Shavuos, that Hashem is real. It's tangible. It's mamashtik. So therefore the Torah can say mitzvahs. Don't speak Lashon Hara. Well, why shouldn't I speak Lashon Hara? Because in the same way, how can I not speak Lashon Hara? In the same way that when you go through traffic control, speed restrictions, cameras, like I did this morning, and you come down and it says 50, and you know somebody's been chapped by those cameras, by those iniquitous, ubiquitous cameras, when you know that somebody, you know, then you're not going to speed, because you know that you're going to, you just smile. You've got to smile, because your photo is being taken. So you've got to, you know that, you don't have a suffix. If you have a suffix, then you'll speed. If you don't have a suffix, we even have to know that Hashem is right here. Can I see him? No. Does he exist? Yes. That Hashem is Royev Eina Nira, and therefore I can't speak Lashon Hara, because Hashem is right here next to me. And that's why the Torah can say in Parashas Shoftim, when you go to war, Lo Yisira Mehem, don't be scared. Ki Hashem Elokecha Imo Chamalcha Meitz Yisraim. How can you not be scared? How can the Torah legislate that you shouldn't be scared? Fear is an instinct. It's like somebody standing on your toe. Don't feel pain. How can you not feel pain? It's a reaction. How can the Torah say loy siro mehem when you've got a big bundle of schutzim coming towards you with their Rottweilers and the Rottweilers look fierce, and the Rottweilers look just as fierce as the Geordies. How can you not be scared? It's a natural reaction to have pachad. The Torah says, because you have to know that Hashem is right there next to you. Hashem is right there next to you. And as He saved you in Mitzrayim, He can save you now. Lo yisira. And therefore you can eliminate fear when you know that Hashem is with you. That is Maimin Umaimin. And we are Bnei Avraham Avinu. We are Bnei Avraham Avinu. And therefore we have to take, our chizuk is the reality. It's not chizuk, it's reality. When you know the reality of Hashem's existence, as Avraham Avinu was aware all throughout his life, like Yosef, like all our people, then you don't need any more chizuk. That means the chizuk is the reality, and the reality is the chizuk. Chazak, chazak, v'nischazek.